Be here, bringing books to life. Vision without sight.
The Light Watch Chronicles, Book 1, The Guardians, by J. H. Tepley, Episode 12, produced and dramatised by Be Here, Chapter 11, Marvi, Visions. The mist spilled from the morning lake, a milky tide, its wet sleeves spread chilliness in the air. The night receded, fading into grey. The freshness of a new dawn woke the quarter up. They stretched and sat up, exchanging sleepy greetings. Tay ran fingers through his hair in a half-hearted try to quell the mess.
Holy Star?
He looked around. Antares' slender silhouette brightened by the lake. Tay smiled lightly. Somehow, it felt good knowing that she was there. The great star stood alone on the sandy shore, pensively gazing towards the Cairn Mountains. The rising sun gilded their distant peaks.
Am I running out of time?
She mused with a pensive curve of her lips.
Ironic.
She sensed the quarter's gaze and turned her head.
Morning, warriors.
The guardian studied the squad briefly, then added,
Get ready. We have a lot to do today.
They noticed it now. The high-collared warrior outfit Antares wore instead of a usual gown. It was white midnight and green traced with gold. The arm guards and the pauldrons gleamed with blue. Tay took a long, swishing breath. The great star looked incredible. Improper as it was, for a moment, the quarter couldn't help the bashful stares nor wipe the silly grins off their faces. The day certainly promised to be interesting. The outskirts of the forest were breeze and sunshine, a perfect place for a breakfast, it was agreed. A simple blanket of rough linen that Antares called into existence seemed at once more welcoming than palace velvet stools. And, just like that, there were fish and pickles and dried berries, and the delicious pancakes of rice bread, and a full jug of fine Madeira on each side. Being at peace again after all these years felt soothing yet surreal. Mysteri turned the crystal goblet in his hand, playing with the glass. The chalice reminded him of the Star of Space. How long ago was that? A week? A month? He couldn't tell. Since they got on Largu, time became a blur.
But surely there's something you stand for.
The memory resounded in his mind. Mysteri frowned. He didn't know what to answer then, and he still didn't know now. He glanced across the blanket laid with food.
Tay?
Yeah?
Tay was pouring Madeira with one hand, clutching a rice bread wrap in the other.
What?
Why did you stay?
Where?
Tay threw him a baffled frown, somewhat uneasily.
When?
At the academy.
Hmm?
At the age of choice. Why did you take the trials?
What? Random?
Tay sniffed dismissively, but his tone rang with relief.
Weird that you're asking. I thought you knew.
No. We never spoke about it.
Fair enough.
Tay shrugged.
Simple, really. It was the only right thing to do.
He took a generous bite from his wrap, chewed, and continued.
They didn't make us do it, but as armed students, we all knew we'd dedicate our lives to service, to do the High Masters proud, to repay the trust they put in us for all these years. You know what I mean? You don't take your academy for granted. One loser said he'd leave at 16 and nobody wanted to talk to him after, and rightly so. You can't just get the training and give nothing back. There's no honour in that.
Tay emptied his goblet and refilled it at once.
Why did you?
Asteri glanced down at his drink. Sunshine was sparkling on its surface and the cut edges of the glass.
Just try to find my purpose,
he said after a pause.
I thought that was it.
The warrior raised his gaze and met Antares's by chance, and for some reason, it nearly made him blush. He scooped a handful of dried berries and threw them into his mouth to hide disquiet.
I guess I have to keep looking,
he muttered.
A purpose, huh? I've no idea if I even have one.
Tay shrugged again. Hegel enjoyed his food in quietude, giving good table manners due regard. Today, it was clearly not the day for it, though.
Hey, Hegel.
Tay turned to him curiously.
What about you? Surely you didn't have to. You could have kept your skills, an easy life. What made you leave it all?
Hegel winced. He'd rather not talk about it right now. Or ever.
Can you pass me that jug?
He asked instead of a reply.
Thank you.
The warrior filled his goblet, sighed, and looked into the distance, unsure what to say. He never liked talking about his older brother, laughed Trethian. Lord and heir, the cynosure of all eyes, the brilliant Larth, as he was widely known. Larth was the best at everything he touched. He was ambitious, witty, and relentless in his zeal. He made a dazzling career at the court. His family was proud of him. Others felt privileged to know him, and everyone wanted to be his friend. Rumours had it that he might even marry into the royal family one day. He was everything Hegel was not. Hegel detested attention and crowds. He didn't care about politics or princesses. His dream was to devote himself to writing. A pitiful pursuit for a high-born son. His lady mother gracefully pretended that she made no distinction. But Hegel knew he was no first choice. He thought of little Daria, his sister, the only one who loved the stories that he wrote, the only one who cheered his efforts. Sweet innocence of a child. She was too young to understand the grown-up world. It was only when he committed to his path that others started showing him respect. The academy offered him strength and meaning. For the first time in his life, Hegel felt that he'd achieved something worthy of his family's name. That look of thinly veiled contempt Larth used to cast him on the rare occasions they met had waned once Hegel passed the trials. Being accepted into the kingdom's warrior elite meant more than any titles. At the sight of Hegel's uniform, the crowd parted to give way and bowed with reverent whispers. Yet seeing his parents' faces brighten up during his visits was the greatest reward of all. He would be damned if he were to explain any of this. Hegel winced again. He had a creeping suspicion that Nesteri knew, somehow. Perhaps he figured it out, having crossed paths with Larth more than once. Or maybe he heard rumours. Nothing was ever truly secret at the court. His battle brother remained silent, though, for which Hegel was grateful. He noticed Nesteri's gaze directed at him.
I bet it was the pursuit of immortal glory.
Nesteri quipped with a tiny wink, raising his goblet.
Am I right, Hegel?
He tilted his head puckishly.
You read my mind.
Hegel latched at the opportunity.
Just as you say. Always wanted a statue. In bronze.
Your family could easily get you that.
Tay squinted.
And a street named after me. Or better, an entire town.
Or maybe a whole kingdom.
Tay chuckled.
Never knew you had ambitions like that.
One day I'll open my own academy, you'll see.
Hegel joked. He caught Antares's gaze, pensive and kind.
One day, you may,
the great star said. Hegel studied her quizzically. Was that a prophecy? He didn't dare to ask. The woods opened to a vista of bright meadows. The soft breeze touched the stars' faces, bringing honeyed scents. Antares's cloak flowed, trembling from her shoulders, a patch of brilliant white against the sky. Looking at it kindled in Nisteri the memory of tall ships and harbours, their sails billowing, ready for adventures and brave voyages across the sea. He'd never seen a real harbour during his years in Laeri, but his Lord Father's library was enough to fuel his imagination. In the uncertain flicker of a night lamp, foxed atlases and prints seemed to take on a mysterious life of their own. Leaning over the maps of foreign lands, Nisteri used to wonder whether his service at the academy might one day take him there. His younger self would have been much surprised if only he had known. Antares halted suddenly, gesturing to the quarter to do the same, then turned around.
How good are you at close combat?
The great star smiled with a dangerous glint in her eye.
Well,
Tay muttered, taken off guard, not sure what to make of that question.
Rusty-ish. Still must be pretty good. At the academy we trained a lot and later too. I mean, until Farian.
Tay swallowed and his face darkened for a moment.
It was much harder with an odd number, you know?
He continued in a flat voice, then regarded Antares searchingly.
Why?
It's the skill you'll need,
Antares told them.
Sharp steel gives strength to the body and balance to the mind. Energy combat is a dangerous friend. It can too easily make you careless and complacent. Don't rely on it. Temper your body and your mind in equal measure.
Nisteri's lips curved up with a hint of nostalgia.
Sounds like what Master Alstavir used to say.
A good reminder,
Hegel added.
Thank you, Holy Star.
What? Never mind reminders,
Tay said hotly, excitement and anticipation mixed in his eyes.
I hope it means what I think it means, yeah?
He looked at Antares expectantly. Antares favoured him with a smile.
Your mind-reading abilities are improving.
Sweet. And thank you.
A huge grin broke out on Tay's face. Hell, he did miss his sparring drills.
What are we waiting for? Let's do it!
You sure?
Antares teased him. Her gaze turned perilous again.
More sure than ever.
Very well.
The great star nodded to her right.
Right, go on then. Show me what you're worth.
Tay looked right and drew in a long breath. A heap of weapons shimmered on the grass, bristled with chain sticks, swords, triple staffs and daggers, and even the double-bladed sword staffs, which Nisteri was particularly pleased to see. Next to them, piled up braces, pauldrons and gauntlets, breastplates and other guards.
Light, look at this! And this, baby, check that out! Neat! Now we're talking.
Warm up and choose what speaks to you,
Antares said.
Swords speak to me.
Tay roared with a shout of laughter as he grabbed a broad Laerian sword. The noble blade of the brightest allurium, with two smaller edges at the base. It brought back memories.
Never thought to be seeing one of these again.
Tay pivoted, spinning it with a sharp swish.
Get ready, team.
Ready.
Nisteri squinted roguishly at him, saluting with his blade. The meadows filled with the song of wind and steel, a deadly dance, enrapturing with danger, exhilarating like being in love. Oh, how they missed the feeling. Antares's blows came relentless and fast, then even faster, nearly impossible to block, formidable, yet her eyes stayed elfish and calm, as though she was merely playing. Attack, flip, parry, turn, swing out of the line, attack, repeat, repeat, repeat again. Hours passed with hardly any breaks, only changing partners and weapons. Regroup, repeat. It was almost like the academy, except it made the academy's training look like a children's play. It was the hardest and longest drill they could remember, But the Quarter were too proud to ask Antares to slow down. Elite warriors, they would rise to the task, no matter what it was. They would not yield. Ah! Another swing of Tay's tipple staff sent Hegel reeling. He staggered and gripped his shoulder. For a split moment, the world went dark. The staff dropped out of his hand and hit the ground with a thud.
Hag, you all right?
Yes.
Hegel wheezed out.
Never have been better.
Tay snorted, but when he pulled his helmet off, his face looked concerned.
Sorry about that.
My own fault. Should have been faster.
He kneaded his arm, trying to bring the feeling back, grateful for the pauldron that softened the blow. Then bent down and picked up his staff.
No matter.
Antares stopped sparring and sauntered over to them. She was the only one wearing no headgear. Asteri hesitated briefly, then followed her.
I'm good to carry on,
Tay announced with somewhat tarnished bravado. He wiped off sweat from his forehead with his sleeve.
What's next?
The Great Star shook her head. She looked serene and fresh as though they had spent the whole afternoon reading.
Enough for today.
She smiled appreciatively.
Not bad at all.
Yay!
Tay grinned, and the rest with him as they ripped off their helmets and all three flopped on the grass where they stood.
Best drill ever. Am I right, team?
Hegel grunted.
Got out of shape.
Oh, get off, you haven't. Could have been anyone.
Stop
sulking. 'Twas my bad. Got carried away.
Appreciate it, Captain.
Holy Star, thank you for your time.
Nesteri remembered his manners. The warrior took his gauntlets off and watched them disappear as soon as that. His hair felt dry and clean again, just like his clothes. Nesteri inclined his head in a silent thanks.
Pleasure,
Antares replied, and a familiar pensive tone flickered in her voice.
Here, take these,
she said, offering three silver goblets. The liquor inside was garnet red, scented with herbs and spices.
What's this?
Tay asked.
Doesn't seem like Madari or that other thing. And thank you.
Virapana. It will restore your spirits.
My spirits are sky high.
Tay muttered defiantly, but took an eager swallow. Delightful coolness filled his mouth.
Nice.
He quaffed down the drink and dried his lips with the back of his hand.
Hegel, how's your shoulder?
It's...
Hegel's eyes widened in surprise as he touched the place where the bruise should have been. There was no pain, not even a trace.
It's fine?
He rotated his arm to make sure. Nothing. The warrior turned to Antares, his stare thankful but confused.
Holy Star, I'm deeply...
Don't mention it.
Antares waved off his courtesies.
We're fighting on the same side, remember?
The guardian turned the goblet in her fingers. Virapana swirled inside.
If we lived in the times of peace,
she said softly, her amber eyes fixed on the drink.
I'd much rather devote myself to healing. I'd rather restore life than take it.
Her words made Hegel recall his first miraculous morning on Largu. His own cure, and many more gifts and wonders that happened since. Warmth kindled in his chest. He gave Antares a disarmed smile, then gently lowered his head.
Her presence truly is a blessing,
he mused. The warrior emptied his goblet and reclined on one elbow, pulling his notebook out. Neat rows of Laerian runes trailed after his pencil.
What you scribbling?
Tay asked with idle curiosity.
Just thoughts,
Hegel replied, noncommittally, without lifting his eyes from the page. His note said,
we drift through time like specks of dust float through a ray of sunlight. Time colours our minds and shapes the way we see the world. Sometimes the warrior may feel ready, but finds himself unable to move forward because the time is not right for him yet. But then the current shifts, and his mind is transformed. He suddenly can do things that he could never do before. The warrior strives to align himself with that flow and be present in every moment.
The grassland stretched ahead, warm, whispery and sweet, cleft in the south by the tempestuous Tarian River. The Cairn Mountains towered beyond, faint through the mist. Eternal autumn minted them all gold. Curious flowers poked through the grass. Nesteri noticed three bronze belled rimmed with blue on a dark olive stem. As the stars walked, the bells grew in number. They clustered until finally nothing else beside them could be seen. A strange shiver travelled down Nesteri's spine.
Holy star,
he uttered in an uncertain undertone.
What are these?
I heard that,
Tay cut in brusquely.
What's this whispering about? Talk out loud.
Nesteri turned to him.
I sense like they're watching us,
he confessed hesitantly.
Weird, right? I know.
Who's watching you? Light's sake.
Tay pulled a grimace, trying to figure out what kind of madness hit Nesteri's brain this time.
There's no one here.
These flowers,
Nesteri insisted, pointing at the bells. Tay rolled his eyes.
Flowers, yeah.
He's right, in a way,
Antares interjected with a slight smile.
They sense us.
Whatever now?
Tay shrugged, but a note of curiosity broke in his voice.
How? What are they?
Leonire, voices of the past,
Antares said.
They have one interesting ability. Listen.
The warriors fell quiet and heightened their senses as commanded, but they could hear only wind. Moments passed by.
Not with your ears,
Antares said, noticing their struggle.
With your heart. Make your mind still and clear like a mirror. Then you'll hear.
To still the mind, you have to slow it down. The quarter turned their attention to their breathing, steady rhythms of the hearts, and tried again. At first, nothing changed, but slowly, dim visions of the unknown worlds came seeping in, shadows of thought. A trembling mist of memory shrouded the plants, raising and falling in waves of echoed murmurs, sighs that at last merged into words until the quarter could discern them.
The past,
sighed the flowers.
Lainere taime okinu, tunir veistike. Remember the past. It flows through you, speaks through you. You live through it. Do you remember? The rock by the waterfall, the swallow in the clouds, a star on a rainy night. We remember the days that will never come, the days that will never return. Lionire, Lionire.
The stars continued their journey in silence. The voices stirred the shadows buried deep. The haunting thoughts came, troubling, of the darkness behind and the uncertainty ahead, of their lost homeland and of Farion, also lost, most likely tortured to death while they're wasting time.
Remember, do you?
I bloody well do,
Tay set his lips as he threw a look of burning hatred at the bells. He wanted to kick the damn flowers out of his way. A memory of Morionwe stirred up, the mute torment wrenching the life out of him, drop by golden drop.
Light, give me strength. Make me forget. Make me forget.
And yet, forget, he couldn't. The heart of a star always remains true, even if the mind orders otherwise. Antares later taught them an old rhyme about Lainere. Nesteri liked its catchy tune and the eerie beauty of ancient words.
Deri vera milionete, rene mille, sono vente ami, oie emente ridismo, neri e no, leniri ariente.
Don't ever try to hum that shit when I'm around.
Tay warned him when they were alone. His voice was thick with anger.
I'll punch you in the face.
Summer still reigned around, but its glory waned. The morning came fresh and filled with the scents of autumn. Tall columns of bleached rock pierced through the grass and gravel, the crumbling stalagmites spangled with mottles of gold. Their curved lines brought to mind ancient bones or giant ruined archways, stretching on and on. The tiny silhouettes of birds fluttered in between, dark against the pearly skies. Fine mist shrouded the rocks and spilled over the fields. The columns brightened with passing shimmer as the stars walked close, and a ring of light moved as they moved.
I wonder if this is that rehole already,
Tay thought with sour restlessness.
It better damn be.
He kept wondering how much time it would take them to get there. He was failing Farian. With every passing day, he was failing him more and more. Tay's lips set hard. He felt all this was his fault somehow. It was his duty to take care of things. How, though? How? They were trapped here, just like they had been on the Blue Planet. The feeling Tay hated. He'd much rather risk his life in battles. Forced idleness drove him mad. He brushed his fingers against a speckled stone. It was unexpectedly warm despite the early hour.
Light, why can't we have a map? Or horses? Or better, both?
A frown deepened on the captain's face as the unanswered questions swarmed, buzzing in his mind. But then he looked around, suddenly brightened, and snorted at his worries. Funny how the mind plays its tricks. There was no point in worrying anymore. Their search was over. Tay studied again the chalky arches reaching to the sky. These must be the ruins the great star was after. There was no bridge in sight, but it didn't matter. Perhaps the rules had changed in the meanwhile.
Holy star, what is this place?
He heard Nesteri asking just then.
It's pleasing to the eye.
Nerva,
Antares told him.
The White Rocks Valley. A place of worship in ancient times.
Not Re, then.
Tay blurted out in a strangled voice, feeling something inside him crumble into dust.
Not yet.
Right.
The captain gritted his teeth, squashing the urge to swear. It was getting beyond him. They'd wasted so much time already. He threw Nesteri a disparaging squint.
Pleasing to the eye.
What a damn joke. Nesteri must be out of his wits. Excited by some stupid rocks while Farian. A scorching wave of anger swelled in him at the thought. Tay shook his head. That was no good. He took a quick breath and exhaled in small parcels to squash his exasperation. For the first time in his life, he realised he must be getting tired. He never used to be knocked out of his balance as easily as that. Tay let out a short sigh and returned to his breathing drill.
Who do they worship here?
Hegel asked.
It's what rather than who,
Antares said.
Nerva is a place of power. In the old days, people came to this valley for its sacred energy to heal their bodies and mind. You surely can sense it too.
Nesteri and Hegel nodded while Tay looked away. Deep furrows ran across his forehead, the lines of worry he'd rather others didn't see. The mist, luminous from the early sunshine, drifted around and Tay breathed it in, imagining the light flow through him, taking away his sorrow. The morning breeze felt cool and sobering. Antares gestured to stop.
The stones,
she said,
could help you heal as well, if you allow.
Nesteri looked at her, confused.
Heal? From what? We're not ill.
He nearly blurted out, but bit his tongue just in time.
As you say, Holy Guardian,
he muttered instead. The words left an oddly bitter aftertaste, as though he had said something dirty. Asteri frowned and ruffled his hair. He wasn't sure what his error was.
Lean with your back against a pillar and close your eyes,
Antares told them. All three followed her command. A few moments later, strange restlessness troubled Asteri, though. He opened his eyelids a crack. The ground was a dry mixture of moss and gravel, fire yellow, white, and jade, and cyan blue, bright like broken enamel pieces. The shimmering stones towered above, akin to the misty halls and passages of an ancient palace. Asteri gazed at them, trying to imagine what the valley must look like under the stars. He saw Antares, beautifully serene in her green and gold, standing before the quarter with her eyes closed. Asteri's chest tightened. He held his breath, studying her pearlescent features, the delicate shadows around her lips, the midnight silver of her hair touched by the breeze.
What are you doing, staring at the Guardian?
A thought slapped him with a sudden shiver.
Stop it!
Asteri swallowed and closed his eyes shut, chaotically trying to regain his focus. His mouth set in a narrow line.
Disgraceful! Where's your mindfulness, warrior?
Ridiculous how the mind could still try to wander, even after the years of training.
You're an Asterian,
he scolded himself.
And an Arya warrior. You live by your duty and by the code. Never forget that. Is it clear? Good. Now meditate.
Gradually, the tumultuous thoughts yielded to his will. The sense of reality thinned and dissipated until all faded into silence. A staircase of black stone appeared in his mind's eye, going high and higher, but its foot drowned in darkness. The rain ran down the steps in rivulets of water, engulfing the view, splashing, splashing. A hooded figure slumped at the bottom of the stairs, his cloak of granite grey, wet and heavy, merged into the greyness that surrounded him. Only his hands were visible, with long, pale fingers clasped over his knees. As Asteri stepped closer, the figure stirred, then jerked his hood down and grimaced. His hair was colourless, just like his face, and soaked with water.
You...
The demonoid hissed, his black, red-rimmed eyes fixed on the visitor.
You!
He sprang quickly like an eel, launching his hand towards Nasteri's throat. Nasteri swung aside before he knew it and raised his hand for a strike. But suddenly, the dark star staggered and slowly went down to his knees. Nasteri watched him in mute consternation, his arm still up. Cold streaks of rain hit it and rushed down in waterfalls. The dark star dropped his head, his lips there moving, yet the storm drowned out the words. His shoulders shook as though from uncontrolled sobbing, or maybe it was just the rain lashing hard. Asteri couldn't tell. Slowly, arduously, the demonoid lifted his head again and turned towards Asteri. His features were changing, morphing, darkness leaving him. His eyes were now violet and kind, Farian's eyes.
Neri,
he pleaded hoarsely. Asteri shuddered with shock.
Help me. I can't be what they forced me into. Help me.
Farian, you? Is you?
All caution lost, Asteri leapt forward, dropped down in front of Farian and took him by the shoulders. Weird stinging blurred his vision. He crinkled his eyes.
We've been looking for you. Where are you? Where? Talk to me.
I can't. I can't.
Farian spurted with an empty stare.
I...
He dropped his head again and went quiet. And then there was only rain. Asteri snapped out of the meditation, cold with shock, and slumped against the pillar, torpid, listening to the throbbing in his temples.
Breathe,
he told himself.
Just breathe.
Breathe.
books to life. Vision without sight.